is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where we are presented to you today by SeatGeek and their fantastic SeatGeek app for your smartphone, which makes it easy for you to get tickets to join the fray at the Fieldhouse for home games or catch the Pacers on the road or any other big events you want to check out. Now, my name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and today's episode, we will look at a nice piece by Nate Taylor, where he talked with Jeff Teague about his struggles in the first three games of the Pacers. Had some interesting quotes in that article. Also, we will see what was going on down at the Fieldhouse today as the Pacers returned to practice. And a couple players and Nate McMillan spoke afterwards about preparing to play the Lakers. And then we'll also look at the an injury update, primarily looking at the status of Aaron Brooks and Rodney Stuckey as we prepare for the Pacers to get back in action. You would think they would be very excited to return to the court after a frustrating back-to-back loss weekend in Brooklyn and Chicago, two places that should be very fun to visit, but were not for the Pacers over the weekend. And don't forget, you can hit me up with any comments or questions via email at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. I'd love to incorporate good question into the pod, so please shoot them my way, and I'll try to get that discussion into the podcast. So let's turn our attention to a story I want you to read, if you haven't already, by Nate Taylor in the Indy Star, where he had some good quotes from Jeff Teague regarding his struggles over the weekend and how he's trying to get acclimated with the team. A lot of the article also talked to other players who were quick to defend Teague and understand that, especially in Paul George's case, that, you know, the team is asking a lot of Teague, and when they're not doing the full part of playing defense and making things easier, then the offense is kind of left on his plate. And when against a defense at the other end that's all ready to set up. So Al Jefferson also said he had no issues with Teague and no concerns that, again, we're three games into the season. And he's getting comfortable and the team's getting comfortable. It's just that his numbers are glaring at this point, but he knows everything will level out, and Teague's play was not among his concerns. And obviously, there are a lot of concerns with this team right now. Al Jefferson is certainly probably more concerned with the second unit and their defensive effort and trying to keep the game in either a lead or stay in touch with the opponent as they're taking over for a starting unit that's been doing pretty well. So there are a lot of issues, but Teague for himself, you know, isn't shying away from his issues. He understands he's got to play better, especially on the defensive end. But here's some quotes that he had from the article, just kind of explaining his viewpoint on what's different for him this year after spending his career in Atlanta. He said, it's way different than any team I've played on. We've got a lot of talent, but it's just different. It just is. Everything is different. Concepts, everything is totally different. I'm just trying to get used to it. So from those quotes, I'd say things are different. And that is obviously Teague trying to fit in with the group. Again, one issue that wasn't mentioned in the article, I don't know if it was raised or not by Nate, was how healthy Teague's knee is. Is he 100%? Does he feel like he's 100%? Are there any lingering mental issues with using the knee and feeling like he can trust it 100%? Those types of things seem to be a potential issue, but that was not brought up. Certainly, Teague didn't bring it up, so I don't know if Nate did and he shot it down quickly and it wasn't worth reporting, but hopefully we'll get more on that. He also talked about one main problem with the offense is they're having trouble getting easy shots. And a lot of that, which we'll hear from Nate McMillan and Paul George as well, is kind of a compounding issue with the struggles on defense to stop other teams. You know, they're built to run. They want to try and get a fast break. And then if they don't, they want to try and get a shot up before the defense gets set. And then, you know, eventually they get to the point where they want to have to run a set play, which is their last option. But they've been having to do that a lot because the other team is scoring. And if you're not getting those stops, then it prevents you from keeping the pace up where you want to be. And so then Teague's stuck running the half-court sets. And it seems like more of that has been kind of falling into certain default plays and trying to get a good shot as opposed to changing things up and running a different set of group of set plays. So, of course, that's what Frank Vogel would do quite often, you know, call every play and try to get something. I think, obviously, the team would prefer to keep the pace high and not have to get bogged down in that, where they're slowing things down, checking over the bench and calling plays. So the fact remains, though, that you've got this group of guys who needs to figure out where they're going to be and what they want to do, even on, you know, certain plays that they know they're going to fall into. It still takes time to get that timing down. So that's when, you know, Teague mentioned again, here's another quote, "Once we all get on the same page, catch a good groove, we'll all be better. I don't think we know each other's likes, our shots, and where we're comfortable at yet. That's just going to take some time to figure out. It's definitely been tough." So he's feeling the heat. Yeah, he understands it, but like I mentioned, it's kind of a natural progression with a new team trying to work through each other. And also, again, not to belabor the point of the potential injury impact, but the fact that he basically started playing this offseason during training camp or right before certainly had an issue in this part of getting familiar with his teammates and what they're doing on the floor. So the Pacers play the Lakers on Tuesday and then Milwaukee Thursday, and then a rematch with Chicago. It will kind of be nice to get another look at the Bulls on Saturday at home and just to see, you know, what kind of progress is being made here. And as the Pacers try and ramp their effort up in the season, it's going to get tough again after the first couple weeks, and they're going to have to be playing at a much higher level than they did this weekend. But those were two games out of 82. And we'll see if these pros, the vets they brought in on this team to go along with those that were here, can figure out what it takes to turn things around at both ends of the floor and play at a higher level. Now, the Pacers took off Sunday after the back-to-back, and then they were back at practice on Monday getting ready for the Lakers at the Fieldhouse on Tuesday. Adrian Wojnarowski of the Vertical on Yahoo Sports had a great article as well about the Lakers. So if you want to get a little insight on the opponent on Tuesday, check that out. You know, obviously they're building with a lot of young players and without Kobe Bryant. And it's kind of interesting, some quotes in there from young guys feeling like, you know, now they're hearing the fans rooting for the team as opposed to rooting for Kobe. So check that out, and it's pretty interesting. Although, you know, you might want to gloss over that little mention of Paul George's free agency in a couple of years. Nothing to see here. Don't worry about that. So now, if you want to check out the Lakers, make sure you use the SeatGeek app on your smartphone. You know, the NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether that's courtside, the club seats, or the upper level. And I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. As I mentioned, I've used it for some great tickets to see the number 4 ranked Washington Huskies destroy Oregon State a couple weeks ago. Very easy to use, and was able to get my whole family in there without killing myself. For the game on Tuesday, let's see, we had a good deal yesterday in the lower level for $55. You can still get lower level behind the hoop for $28 and plenty of $9 seats as well. So make sure to check out the app. You know, with SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest price available. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see the underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. And best of all, for my listeners, make sure you get a $20 rebate off the first SeatGeek purchase. To get the $20 rebate, just download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code, then enter code LOPACERS. That's capital L, capital O, capital P-A-C-E-R-S. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made the first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LOPACERS today. All right, now at practice today, Fieldhouse, Nate McMillan spoke after to media gaggle, and he mentioned the team needing to play with a sense of urgency. In fact, he must have said sense of urgency, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. That was the theme of the day. He wanted his team to play with that sense of urgency and intensity, and was using practice today to get back to the basics, mentioning, you know, we talk about style of play and pushing the pace and all of that, but none of it matters. The basic building block of a good team, no matter how you're playing, is how hard you're working and playing with that, boom, sense of urgency. So doing that will improve all parts of the games. And he mentioned the phrase having their motor turned up because the move from preseason to regular season requires the motor being turned up, and it just wasn't turned up on the road over the weekend. So he mentioned that, you know, was asked about if it was surprising there was a letdown in game 2 of the season, let alone game 3, and mentioned that those types of things just happen throughout the year when a team comes without the energy. You know, talked about potentially the overtime against Dallas or the back-to-back, but bottom line is they have to make a point to bring that sense of urgency. He also spoke about Teague, as everybody did, I think, and felt that, you know, over the 3 games, he's simply, you know, missed shots, and they're all there, you know, trying to get to know each other, and didn't show any concern for Teague's play in general, you know, felt he would be fine, and I think he's more interested in getting the whole team playing at a higher level and getting to work at it. So he said, you know, you have to be patient this early in the season, but you have to work at getting better and playing with a sense of urgency. So that was definitely the theme of the day. Paul George also spoke about, you know, adding intensity as a focus during practice, and, you know, talked about kind of the challenges of early season and the overtime and back-to-back. But he, wasn't necessarily using those as excuses, reiterating that, you know, they just have to play better. He really wants to see that focus on the defensive end improve, and kind of mentioned that as they're trying to play faster and move the ball, there's been a focus on that, and that's tiring as well. But then they're coming back on defense, and there's a little bit of different mindset where the defense is secondary to getting the ball and going on offense. But he would rather have all the intensity on defense, getting those stops, which you got to have, and then letting the offense take care of itself after getting those stops. So it's the old chicken with the egg, but for PG, it's always about defense, and he wants to see that defensive effort ramp up and feels like the offense will take care of itself from there and certainly improve because they have guys who can score the ball. So he also mentioned the second unit, you know, definitely needing to ramp up their toughness on defense to minimize some of the damage they've been allowing from opponents, which obviously would help. He also, just talking about the Lakers, was saying that he can't remember seeing the Lakers without Kobe, so going to be strange, but at this point, it's just about them winning a game. So, and again, as I mentioned earlier, he also talked about the team putting a lot on Jeff Teague, and with the defense not playing as well, they're often getting down there with the ball, and the defense is waiting and ready for them, and that makes it tough on Jeff as they're trying to get organized on the offensive end. So everybody has Teague back, and hopefully he'll get home at the field house and get some positive mojo going and break out of his shooting slump, which I think would really help us. Looking at his numbers a little bit, he's always shot, you know, over 50% from in and around the rim, and right now he's shooting 23%, only 4 of 17, once he's breaking down the defense and getting into the lane. So he's just struggling all around, and you got to figure that, you know, the odds of you know, his numbers over the career will even out, you know, assuming he is 100% healthy, and it's all about just getting comfortable in his new digs in the Pacers lineup. So, quickly now, we move to an injury update on the two key injuries, which have also been factors. Aaron Brooks, as a reserve point guard, did not play over the weekend in those two games, and I'm not saying he's a savior. I just want to see him play and see if he can help, because they need help in that with that second unit, especially running things and getting some offense going. And he really sounds ready to play, so he's tired of wearing suits. He was a full participant today in practice, and it kind of sounded like he was going to be able to give it a go against the Lakers, but it also, you know, no decision is being made, obviously, until tip time with him. And he's still listed as questionable, but also he mentioned that he was ready to go in Brooklyn, hoping to play, and then had a little tweak earlier in the day in practice, and that held him back. So he wasn't committing to playing tomorrow, but I kind of have a feeling he might give it a go unless something else pops up between now and tip time. And he did mention that he is being cautious at this point, doesn't want a recurring injury that's going to keep him in and out of the lineup. So when asked, you know, kind of what his goals are once he gets back in the game and to help with the team, he just simply said, just win. So he's keeping it simple and thinking along the lines of fans with that comment. Now, Rodney Stuckey has had an MRI today, but McMillan didn't have any results from that. And he did go through stretching and some shooting, which is a good sign. Although, you know, with that type of injury, talk about recurring injuries, you have to assume he's going to be out at least a few games, if not, you know, maybe the next six or seven games. That seventh game would be at home against the Celtics, the back half of a back-to-back. So that would be nice to have him healthy and ready for that Celtics game. Of course, it'd be great if he was ready before then, but if that would give him enough time to fully heal and not have the risk of retweaking the hammy, then that would be even better. So hopefully by that time, when the C's come to town, the the team will be in a lot better shape as well, and with a few more wins and losses. So hopefully they all feel that sense of urgency Nate McMillan mentioned starting against the Lakers on Tuesday night. So thank you for listening. I'd love to hear your thoughts again on the Pacers and some of the lineup issues, injuries, whatever you want to talk about. So hit me up via email at IndyCornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter @IndyCornrows. Also, a big thanks again to SeatGeek. And remember to download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOPACERS for a $20 rebate on your ticket purchase. Easy purchase and easy money for you. Don't forget you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, you can subscribe to the pod on iTunes with all prior episodes available via both outlets, so check them out. Okay, that's a wrap for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa auto parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.